This week's parasha is Akiv, which means on the heel of. In this parasha, Moses continues his final speeches to the Israelis before they enter the promised land. These instructions are more about obeying their God and are a warning. I think a good theme for this is if you have real faith, you will trust me and I will forgive you, and then you will indeed benefit from the inheritance I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Fail, and it will skip your generations. We see that in chapter 7:12, your God will honor his promises that he swore to your forefathers. The Israelis were to be holy, set apart, and to be set apart from the world, exclusively separated to the three-in-one God, a treasured possession. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is giving instructions to the Israelis because the Israelis that he is speaking to were young children when they left Egypt, and their forefathers had failed to go into the promised land due to the lack of faith the first time around. The faithfulness of God in the past should be an encouragement for them in the future. Brothers and sisters, is this any difference for us today? In chapter 8, God instructs Moses to remind the Israelis of all the things that God has done for them. There's a saying, if we don't remember the past, we will repeat it in the future. And Moses and God want the best for the Israelis as they move into the promised land. So it will do them good to remember the failings of their forefathers so as not to repeat them. But there is a lesson in this for us as well. God wants us to remember our past, to remember that we are worthy only because of what Messiah has done for us and not of our own accord. In chapter 8, verse 3, Moses reminded the Israelis how Adonai humbled them, causing them to hunger and then feeding them the manna which they had never seen before. Moses tells the Israelis, man does not live by bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with these, as these are the words Lord Messiah Yeshua used when tempted by the devil in Matthew 4:4. Chapter 9 is a continued reminder about the humbleness and who is righteous and who is not. It starts out with the words, hear, O Israel. In other words, pay attention to what I'm saying. God reminds the Israelis about what they already know, that the people in the promised land are bigger, stronger, greater than the Jewish nation. Adonai reminds the Israelis that it is the Lord your God who goes ahead, and it is he that does the destroying. Now, you might wonder why God feels just in removing these different people from their homes, but we must remember the land belongs to God, always has, always will. We are merely stewards of the land. El Gabor, mighty God, is reminding them that they belong to him. Reminds me of an old song a Jewish sage once wrote. You've probably heard of it, and it goes something like this. Yes, indeed, you are going to have to serve somebody. While it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Adonai is reminding them that they'd better be serving him. The Lord continues to instruct Moses' words and reminds them that they are receiving the land not because of their righteousness, but because of the wickedness of the people who live there now. Moses spends a fair amount of time in this area to make sure that they understand it is not due to their righteousness or their integrity, because they don't have much of it. The Israeli righteousness and our righteousness today is only due to Messiah Yeshua's amazing grace and mercy and forgiveness for the work of the cross. The Lord is not one to mince words, and he calls them a stiff-necked people. I believe we are still a stiff-necked people even today. The chosen people in the day of Moses and continuing today, and along with the followers of Messiah Yeshua, are still prone to find fault in others and always seem to miss the error of their own ways. Therefore, Scripture tells us to pluck out the log in our own eye before we go after the splinter in your neighbor's eye. Moses spent a great deal of time speaking to their pride, a reminder to be humble. In the remainder of chapter 9, Moses reminded the people of the golden calf incident and how quickly they forgot what God had done for them. After all, the Lord brought down Pharaoh and his army. He divided the Red Sea. During Moses' duration of 40 days on the mountain, the rebellious Israelites decided to make a golden calf and worship it. We should note that they had been slaves for 430 years, so one might say the Israelites just didn't know how to act. But that is not an excuse in the eyes of the Lord. The three-in-one God tells Moses to go back down the mountain and straighten out Moses' people. He doesn't even claim them for himself. He's pretty upset. Then on top of that, Moses' own brother Aaron is the one who makes the golden calf. Really? But there is a beautiful lesson right here for us to learn. We see the mercy of God, and Moses trusts God, and God shows much grace and mercy and forgiveness for Aaron, because he appoints Aaron a priest after the golden calf incident. We all like to think that other people's sins are greater than our own, but when we sin in idol worship to something other than God, brothers and sisters, you are at the top of the sin pool in the eyes of God. And yet he shows mercy and grace and forgiveness to Aaron. That should give you and I hope that we are never a lost cause in the eyes of the Lord. And you can take that to the bank. Even in a more conservative churches, most of us are not faithful to the Lord even for a single day. We boast that we are sound in our faith, but we are truly more sound asleep than following God's will. Instead, we seek our own will and call it God's will. Some applications for us to remember. God requires our obedience. He expects us to do more than just give lip service to the call he commands of us. We live in a time of grace and mercy, but our maturity and our walk with the Lord brings a desire to be his servants, to obey him and follow his will. God also demands our faith, and the level of our faith determines how much we trust God. Brothers and sisters, I beseech you to strengthen your faith, spend time in the Word, see how much God's forgiveness is worth, and then you will trust him more. Faith, trust, and forgiveness exemplify God's great love for us. The wrongs we commit against him are far greater than the wrongs our neighbor commits against us. How much more should we forgive our neighbor? Forgiveness is love and shows the express maturity in our walk with the Lord Yeshua, Messiah. Brothers and sisters, choose wisely. Amen.